Hello, radio family. Welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and I am just thrilled to be here with you today. We're going to have a very interesting show for you. You know, friends, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:22 that a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And I think humor and merriment is really good for your health. I know that when I was struggling with cancer, one of the things I was encouraged to do was to watch funny movies and just to maintain a positive attitude. And I really think that went a long way. And today on Divine Intervention, we're going to get a little silly as we have the honor of speaking to two of the funniest gentlemen in America, in my opinion. We have the honor of speaking to comedians Michael Jr. and Tim Hawkins. Not only are both of these guys incredibly funny, but I'm also happy to say that they are both followers of Jesus as well. We're going to speak with Tim Hawkins after the break, but right now I have the pleasure of introducing you to Michael Jr. Michael's unique comedic approach is proven extremely appealing to diverse audiences across the country. Powerful, clever, refreshing, and captivating, Michael wields his art effortlessly. His style is subtle yet hilarious, constantly catching audiences off guard with humor found in everyday experiences. His humor is truly another brand of comedy. Michael Jr. has been on NBC's The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, BET's Comic View, Comedy Central, The Late Show, and more. Now having a true understanding of his gift, this young man is going to change the face of comedy as we know it. His website is michaeljr.com, that's michaeljr.com, and it is my pleasure to welcome Michael Jr. right now on Divine Intervention. Michael, you are on Divine Intervention. Welcome to the show, and thanks for taking the time out to be with us.
Yo, thanks for having me. I'm excited. When you say Divine Intervention, is that like when people, God tell people they're on drugs or something? I don't know. How does that work? What is it?
Well, we feature all types of different miracle testimonies and just instances where God intervenes in people's lives. Sometimes, yeah, we featured many drug addicts who were delivered from that addiction, just how, you know, God comes in and changes lives. And we'd love to hear about anything that God has done in your life. You've had a great comedy career, and we want to hear about that. But before we do, why don't we take it to the beginning a little bit? Tell us about your background. What was it like for you growing up?
It was great. I was a kid playing around, running, having fun with my friends.
Yeah.
Just like any, just like most kids. But then I was always more of the, I was more of the inclusive person where I always wanted to make sure everybody was having fun, everybody was included, and you know, just to make sure everyone was, you know, felt a part of the group. So
okay.
It's kind of been a part of, you know, what I do.
And where did you grow up?
Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay.
Great town, good people. I go back there often to visit family and friends and stuff like that. It's a really cool place.
Hmm. What about your family? What kind of family did you grow up in?
It's a black family.
Yeah. Oh, so you weren't adopted?
No. I guess it seems to be one of the trends. Grand Rapids is actually one of the first places I ever did comedy. When I was 17 years old, I went to a movie theater. And then we were watching the movies, and in the middle of the movie, the screen went blank. And a friend, a German exchange student, dared me to go up and tell a joke. So I was like, okay, I'm going to tell a joke. I went up there and I told a joke. And it was actually the only joke I knew of that I could tell at the time was a dirty joke. And me and a friend had made a pact to not curse or doing the dirty stuff at all, and even in our regular days of life. And, so I cleaned the joke up. I had roughly 12 seconds to rewrite the joke in my head and clean it up. I didn't know anything about God. I just didn't want to, me and a friend made a pact. So
right.
I went down there and I told this joke and all these people laughed and it was great. Then I went to sit back down and security came running down to kick me out.
What?
Because they were looking for me.
Why?
And this white lady who I didn't even know stood up. I don't know, because I was in front of the... I don't know.
Huh.
They just came right down looking for me, kicked me out. And this white lady who I don't even know stands up and says, if you kick him out, I want my money back.
Hmm.
And these biker dudes with long hair and tattoos and black people did the same thing. And then it was really cool because, you know, I stayed at the movie. But more importantly, all these people showed me all of this love because I gave them a little part of me.
That's awesome.
You know, in retrospect, I can see it was really clearly God just saying, yo, you know, this is what I have for you to do.
So right.
Really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Now, how did you said you didn't know anything about God at that time, but how did you actually come to know him?
I went to a friend. I did a show. I was on a show in New York City, and a friend, or this, a manager, my manager at the time, actually invited me to go to this church, and I didn't want to go to church. I ain't going to nobody's church, man. I went to church when I was a kid. That stuff was scary, and people screaming and yelling, and it didn't make any sense. And,
did you go? And you grew up in a Pentecostal church?
I don't even know denominations.
Okay.
I literally don't know what denomination it was. But I went, and so, yeah, he invited me to church, and I was like, I'm not going because it's getting people crazy. And I wasn't like I would see church on TV flipping through the channels, and people were always talking about they were on drugs and they found Jesus, or people were like, they almost died and they found Jesus. But none of that stuff applied to me. I've never done drugs. I've never smoked anything. I stopped cursing when I was 14 years old, so I wasn't trying to hear about no God. I'm just being real with you. That stuff just seemed like it was for people who were in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But Dennis Beyonce asked me to go to church, and she was really pretty. And I didn't know that pretty people went to church, so it's interesting. So I went to the church. This dude was up on stage talking about Jesus. He wasn't screaming. He wasn't yelling. He didn't have no perm or anything. He was just a regular dude. Fucking regular. Then he did an altar call, and he said, if you want Jesus in your life, just believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and that's what he did. I mean, so I wanted to go down, but I was like, no, I got to read the pamphlet first. I didn't know what this stuff was, so
right.
I told myself I'd read the whole Bible before I, went to the altar or whatever. So I got a Bible. Some lady has a Bible, I don't even know. It took me like 3 months to finish the Bible.
Okay.
And I finished it up, and then there was stuff in there I didn't even know. I was like 20-something that Jesus died for me. I didn't even know.
Wow.
That kind of blew me away a little bit. Then I went to church after I was done reading the Bible, and then there it is. That was the start of the revelation. But, God had he was doing this thing with me the whole time.
Right.
But I just, now I'm aware of it.
How old were you when this happened to you?
I think I was 27.
27, okay. So you had been already doing comedy prior to that?
Yeah, I did comedy long before I became a Christian.
Okay. How did you actually first get into comedy? I mean, you mentioned the theater experience.
It was not too long after that. I just went and did an open mic. I don't really consider, it depends on what a person will refer to as professional. I don't really consider money to have anything to do with professionalism.
Right.
So I would say shortly after that, I got on stage and started working out probably a year later, I got on stage and started working out the craft and getting a feel for it and learning, just really getting my voice. And I'm still really, really starting to come into my voice now as far as what this thing means.
Mm-hmm.
But this funny is really, people say, hey, you're a comedian, but comedy is just really a seasoning of what I'm about and what my life message is. So it's really not about just jokes.
Jokes just
makes you more palatable.
Right.
Or whatever. People like it. They come flocking in because of that. But
yeah, I think your CD is aptly named Funny for a Reason. Once again, we are speaking with Michael Jr. He is a comedian. I'm Daniel Fazina, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. But Michael, coming back to your CD, Funny for a Reason, well, you just mentioned it. Your comedy is making your message more palatable, and you're communicating what you're about. So since you started following Jesus, how has your life changed, and how has your comedy changed? I mean, what are you about right now?
The comedy really didn't change much at all. The comedy is always clean. It was always, as far as the cleanliness of it, it's always been clean.
Okay.
It's just more purposeful now. So it's not even like, it didn't change so much that the language or anything. It's just a matter of my perspective and my understanding of why I have it. But before, comedy was the end all, but not so much any longer. It's just it's like I said, it's just a tool, really.
Right.
It's the gift. Everyone has a gift. Everyone, whether you're a plumber, whatever the case is, that's just one of the tools you've been given
mm-hmm.
to make the world better.
Right.
But it's more, mainly just more illuminating. It's mainly just an understanding on my part.
Okay. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed your live performance when I saw you at the NRB, National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville. You just really brought the house down. I loved that, and I had a great time there, and I loved meeting you. And you shared a story there about how you came out of a club one night after a show and you saw something that changed your perspective. Can you tell us that story and how that impacted you and what you do now?
Yeah, it did. It changed a lot. I was at a club and a club here in Los Angeles, and right before I went on stage, I did a prayer, and you know, God changed my mindset. It's like Romans 12:2, which says, "Be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Mm-hmm. So the mindset change that I had was, well, initially my mindset was to get laughter from people, because I thought that was, you know, how the gift worked. And, but God was like, "No, don't go up there to get laughs from people. Go up there to give them an opportunity to laugh." But that little change of perspective really changed a lot. Not so much for my performance or anything that you may notice on stage without me finding out, but mainly just my mindset about giving as opposed to getting.
Okay.
So I went on ahead and I did my show that night, and I leave the club, and there's people outside. They want autographs. They're talking to me. And they're telling me their favorite jokes. Same situation every time I leave the club. In fact, I was at the club last week. Same situation. But this in particular time, I walk outside, and while I'm talking to the people, I look across the street, and I saw a homeless guy. I had never seen a homeless guy at this club before, but, you know, that doesn't mean he wasn't there before. That just, you know, just confirmed that my mindset was to get laughter from people.
Right.
You know, so why would I even notice this homeless guy? But this time I did, and I thought about him. I was like, how could I give him an opportunity to laugh? So, and I asked God, and God was like, "Do you really want to know?" And at first I was like, "Nope, I don't want to know. That's going to be an assignment. I can clearly see that." So we went on ahead, and we did the assignment. We did a comedy, or filmed it, and we named the film Comedy, The Road Less Traveled. And we went to locations across the country where laughter doesn't exist, but it's really needed.
Right, I have a copy of it in my hand right now, and I highly recommend it. I picked it up at the NRB. It was just wonderful. Again, the documentary is called The Road Less Traveled. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just wanted to plug it for you, but go ahead.
Comedy, The Road Less Traveled is what it is, and you can get it on my website or wherever you want, michaeljune.com, whatever the case. So we go to four locations. First place we go to Fort Worth, Texas, a place called the Samaritan House. Everyone was homeless and had HIV. We went to Skid Row in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. A guy said to me, "I was homeless for 7 years. He's been on crack cocaine for 10 years. He's beaten, stabbed, and left for dead." And he just looked at me and said, "You know, I could really use a laugh, Michael Jr."
Wow. Like, wow. No pressure there, right?
Yeah, that's really... But anyway, so the same guy uses his left hand to keep himself from falling out of his chair in laughter. In this film, you actually get to see the transformation that takes place. It's really, really pretty cool. And then we leave there and we go to a youth... go to an adult prison. We go do an event in Montrose, Colorado for abused children. And we basically get their stories. In this film, we get the stories of the people and the stuff they've been through and why they feel like they can't laugh. And then we do it before they can laugh. Yeah. So Comedy Road Less Traveled kind of takes you for the whole ride from hearing the stories to seeing the laugh. So it's really pretty.
Yeah, it was wonderful watching it. Again, it's called Comedy, The Road Less Traveled by Michael Jr. And we are speaking with Michael Jr. His website is michaeljr.com, michaeljr.com. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio, and I'm Daniel Fazina. Now, Michael, one of the cool stories you told about that trip was going into this prison facility and just being really nervous about, you know, what to say and, you know, how to get these hardened criminals to laugh. And you had a pretty cool, what I like to think of as a divine appointment right there with someone sitting in the front row. Can you tell us that story? That was pretty cool.
It was pretty scary because, you know, these are some hard guys. They've been doing a lot of time. And they're and I'll come in there to do jokes and leave. And, you know, hopefully.
Right.
These guys are really... No, I'm walking in there and the bars are open in front of me, they close behind me, and then I take a few more steps and it's the same thing, and And then you start to question, okay, is this going to be funny to them? Is this going to work out? Or so it was scary. And then I walk in and I need a joke like immediately. I need to be funny like really fast.
So right.
And I don't know what jokes I'm going to do. I think I have a joke, but I don't know if I should say it. I walk in there. They all have on pink jumpsuits. I say anything about their jumpsuits.
You might get jumped yourself.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything about it. So then I walk in, and I think I'm going to say a joke, but I just didn't feel like it was the right time. I was going to say, you know, you guys are a captive audience, but I just didn't feel like that was a joke for. So
that may not have gone over so well.
Yeah, so it was just a really, you know, I didn't know what I was going to say until I got right up front, and I sat up. And I'm standing up there, and sitting right in front is a white guy with a white beard named Moses. Well, thank you, God. So I looked at Moses, and when I said these words, the place exploded in laughter. We had an amazing time. I looked at Moses, and I said, Moses, I want you to look the prison warden right in his eye, and I want you to say, let my people go. And the place erupted in laughter, and we just had a really, really good time from there on. It was really... really a great time. I was able to have them laughing, and we were able to share and talk, and we just had fun. It was really cool.
And what an icebreaker. Very cool how God, like, shows up with this ironic situation. What's your favorite part of being a comedian?
I don't know. It's just part of what I do. I love seeing audiences come closer together, a room full of strangers, kind of bonding because they're laughing at the same stuff. Right. So that's always a really, really cool thing. And then to know that, you know, the laughter is medicine, and I get to give people medicine. So that's a pretty cool feeling. Really great thing. And then just having a perspective that I can, there's something I can give as opposed to just getting it. So it's fun doing shows that, you know, we do shows for people who can't to come to a show.
Mm-hmm.
So, we still go to the homeless shelters and Skid Row and places like that. Because it's good to have laughter in, you know, places where it's not normally seen at, just to lift the people up. It's a really, really cool feeling.
Yeah, no doubt. When I opened the show, I talked about how the Book of Proverbs said that a merry heart does good like medicine, and you obviously experience that on a regular basis. So that's a wonderful thing. Michael, we're almost out of time, but if there's anyone listening to this interview right now who maybe is struggling with their relationship with God, maybe doesn't believe in God or know he's real, what would you want to say to them?
God is like, people think that, you know, people get choices and they can do whatever they want, which is true. God's not, he don't want a bunch of robots. He wants some people who actually love him for who he is, how he is, with the agape love, like he loves us. But he's not going to force you to do anything. God is like a navigation device in a car. That's the best I could kind of understand, kind of explain to people. If you punch in a quarter and says where you want to go, and then the navigation device says go 10 blocks and turn left, well, then you go 7 blocks and turn right.
Mm.
Well, it doesn't abandon what you're supposed to do. It recalculates what you need to do to get to where you're supposed to be based upon where you are. The only problem is we keep making the wrong turns. If you keep making the wrong turns, the road conditions are going to be different. Probably going to be rougher, and you run out of time.
Hmm.
You know, so you got to be sensitive to listen to that voice, so you can make the right choice as to where you're supposed to be. Because everybody, I mean, people hear from God all the time. They just refer to him as a lot of times people refer to him as something.
Okay,
they'll just say, you know, they'll give you some amazing story. Like we'll get a choice. We could choose A, which is the right thing to do, or we could choose B, which looks like fun. Well, a lot of times people choose B. And then they got to deal with the consequences from choosing B. And one of the first things to come out of their mouth to do this, well, that's something that's clearly God. But the best way to clearly hear from him is to invite him inside, have a personal relationship with him, and get it done, you know, and get it done like that. So,
It's
pretty awesome.
Awesome. Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out to share on Divine Intervention, your story, and some of the great work you're doing. Again, we are speaking with Michael Jr. His documentary, check it out, it's called Comedy, The Road Less Traveled, and he has a CD called Michael Jr. Funny for a Reason, which is very aptly named. I'm Daniel Fazina, your host. Michael, thanks again, and God bless you as you continue to spread joy with your comedy.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man.
You are so welcome. I'm going to leave you with a sample of some of Michael's comedy right now, and after that we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Tim Hawkins, another funny guy you won't want to miss. So stay tuned, we'll be back with more on Divine Intervention.
So now I just love doing comedy, man. Before I did comedy, I had this thing called a job. I had a job, yo. That's a lot of work, man. You got to be there at the same time every day. It's a lot of work, right? I was a cashier at a gas station, right? But that didn't mean I wasn't truly a comedian. I just happened to be at a gas. And this guy walks in who clearly got on a hairpiece. Clearly. You could tell he started out with a comb-over. And what is a comb-over anyway? What's the definition of comb-over? It means your combing days are over. But I'm just trying to do my job. Okay, sir, you got the soda pop today. You got the gasoline, $55.29. And how are you going to pay? Then this big lady walked in, right? Well, let's call her Swollen. This Swollen lady walked in. There's nothing wrong with being big, but she had a really bad attitude. She came in there complaining, "What took you so long to authorize the pump? I can't believe it took you that long." And I started to explain. I was like, "Yo, I was busy. Had a whole bunch of things. I was trying to." And I just stopped and looked at her. And I was like, "Yo, sorry about your weight." Then I got another job, man. I worked at an apple factory, right, or apple plant, wherever apples come from. Right? Let me show you what my job was. Let me show you how much skill was required to hold this job. I stood in front of a conveyor belt with apples going by. If an ugly apple go by, I got to find the apple, scoop it behind me. Find the apple, scoop it behind me. Find the apple, scoop it behind me. That's it. 12 hours a day. Find the apple, scoop behind me. 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 So I quit. And they wanted a 2 weeks notice. I was like, "Yo, boss, 2 weeks from now, you're going to notice I ain't been here in 2 weeks. How you like them apples?" Love doing comedy at churches. I do comedy all over. I'm at the casinos. I'm at the clubs, churches. And when I'm at the club and I say I do comedy at churches, they like, "What? Churches chicken?" They don't even know that people at church know how to laugh, which is weird. So I read the Bible a lot, right? Read the Bible. Found out that Jesus had a little brother. Anybody know his name? James. When I read that, I was like, man, how much pressure was that? Jesus, your big brother? How many times do you have to hear, "Why come you can't be more like Jesus, James?" Because you know, everybody probably thought that James could do the same thing Jesus could do, but he couldn't. He was just James. He wasn't James Christ. Remember the wedding banquet? Jesus turned water into wine. Everybody was amazed. But they don't tell you about the next banquet. Jesus left early. They started running out of wine. Everybody looked at James. "We don't got no more wine, James. You just going to stand there with your sandals on? You're not going to make no wine?" Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the desert. 40 days. The devil said, "I'll give you anything you want." Jesus went 40 days and said no. I bet James, when he got tempted too, came back in 3 hours. Man, shoot. Don't be judging me, man. Because you know how little brothers are. That's what they do. Little brothers follow their big brother everywhere. If Jesus went there, so did James. He followed him. I bet one time James almost drowned. See, because Jesus walked on water. James tried to do this. That's him swimming out.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. If you enjoy the testimonies featured on my talk show, I've also written a book series containing more amazing stories of God's divine interventions and miracles. More information about Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, can be found at DivineInterventionRadio.com. That's www.DivineInterventionRadio.com or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665. Welcome back to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and this is a special comedy and humor-themed episode of Divine Intervention. Before the break, we spoke with Michael Jr., one of the funniest gentlemen in America and a follower of Jesus. And right now, I have the honor of speaking with my all-time favorite comedian. Yes, that's right. He makes the top of my short list of funniest guys in America. I'm talking of none other than Tim Hawkins. His personal tagline is, "Clean comedy is easy, funny comedy is hard." Since giving up his job as a grocery truck driver in 2002, Tim Hawkins has been forging the magical blend between two comedic ideals, a genuinely funny comedy show that caters to the entire family. Is it realistic? Hawkins believes so. With over 100 million views on YouTube, 120-plus sold-out shows every year, and a motley crew of local supporters, Tim has started a gut-busting grassroots revolution of multi-generational proportions. But what's so special about this St. Louis native who is most notorious for his wretched cow impersonations? Some would say it's his equally gifted and twisted approach to the medium. A self-taught guitarist, Hawkins will go note for note on everything from Skinner to Bon Jovi to Prince, while dishing out flawless vocal imitations of Bono, Jason Aldean, and John Mayer, all within minutes. His stand-up material is vigorous, well-timed, and honed to perfection. However, the connection he makes with his fans goes deeper than that. "If you can't laugh at yourself," says Hawkins, "laugh at other people." It is this ability to show the brokenness of our human nature and simultaneously marvel in its hilarity which makes Tim such a unique artist. With four munchkins of his own and a beautiful wife who is winning her battle with breast cancer, Hawkins develops new material daily by simply absorbing the world around him. The perils of marriage, parenting, and homeschooling may not exemplify the rock star life, but they sure make for great comedy. And as Tim would tell you himself, "It's not like I have a choice. Comedy is my only life skill." His website is timhawkins.net, and it is my pleasure to welcome Tim Hawkins right now on Divine Intervention. Tim, you are on Divine Intervention. Thanks so much for joining us.
It is my pleasure, and dreams come true. I'm happy for you. This is the real deal.
I am so stoked.
Who you've ever done.
Yeah, I know. I
Big
told you before.
I'm ready.
Awesome. I was so thrilled to see you live in when you were performing in upstate New York about a year ago, and I've been wanting to get you on the show since then, so I'm really excited. By the way, you are my all-time favorite comedian, hands down. You make the top of my short list of funniest men in America, so that's quite an honor.
Thank you. Well, it takes years of being horrible, years of failure, and bombing, and weeding out just the terrible. And then you kind of get it after a while. You start to kind of get your voice and, lock into what you're good at. And so it's hard. It's hard work, but it's what I love to do. So I guess it's not really work.
Yeah, and you make it look so easy. I want to get into some of your comedy acts, your rock star tour, and what you're doing. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about you as a person. Who are you? What's your background like? Where are you from? And how'd you grow up?
I'm a Midwestern boy. I grew up in the St. Louis area. Just kind of a very, very simple life. My parents were just very solid. Both of them were teachers. My dad was a coach. He coached, I did a lot of sports growing up, and I wanted to be, some kind of a pro athlete. That's just what most kids that I knew wanted to do. But,
right.
Having the genetics that I have kind of forced me to do other things besides pro athletics. So, and I always enjoyed cartoons and that kind of thing. I started out just doing voices and kind of character voices as a kid, and I found that I could make people laugh. I could at least through mimicking other people, mm-hmm. and get laughs. And I found it was very intoxicating to be able to do that. And I was really shy. I still am pretty much. I mean, pretty much of an introvert. A lot of comedians are. Mm. Just for some reason, we kind of observe life a lot. We're the ones in the corner of the party, just kind of looking at everybody.
Right, and then you come alive on stage, and you make it look
exactly.
easy.
Exactly.
And when you say that you can make people laugh, I think that's a bit of an understatement. You're being modest, because I've been to your shows, and people have been known to hand out Depends diapers to people.
Yeah, started doing that, and it's weird. We used to throw Twinkies, and now, we throw adult diapers, which it's very surreal to tell somebody in your contract that we need two bags of adult diapers. And then you show up. First thing, they're inquisitive, like, what are you doing? And the second thing, they're usually mad because they had to go to the store and actually buy them.
That's funny.
Who knows? I don't know. It's kind of, I got the idea to throw out things in the audience a few years ago with Twinkies. I did a bit on Twinkies. I'm like, who wouldn't want a Twinkie thrown at them?
Right.
So I guess I'm trying to think of the next thing, you know.
Swag is always good. People like free stuff.
It doesn't matter what it is. Twinkies and diapers. It's really wild what you can get away with. you're funny doing it. You know, if I just did that, okay, I'm just going to throw adult diapers without telling a joke, people would be, you know, very angry. But, you know, they come into the autograph table wearing them on their heads, and, oh, gosh, I signed this for my mom and whatever. But it's a pretty fantastic job
that
to be able to get
funny.
Away with that.
Wow, very cool stuff. And, you know, I saw you perform at a church, and I want to talk to you about your spiritual background. How and when did you become a Christian? Let's put it that way.
Right. I feel blessed that, you know, I'm one of those people, I think that you know, the Bible says how God, he chose us, you
right.
know, and he loved us before we loved him. I think, I don't know how he did it or why, but I know that he just opened my heart as a young child.
Okay.
And I remember it in just going to church as a kid, just wanting, I said, whoever this Jesus guy is, I want him in my life. He's the one. I want to serve him. And a lot of comics, they have a really negative view towards God.
Really?
They just were involved with a lot of messed up people and a messed up, you know, system.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't. Church was always a positive thing with people I knew that were flawed, but I knew that were loving and normal, you know?
I'm glad to hear
that. I just always, from Christ and the Holy Spirit, it's just always given me peace and real joy. It was so big, I didn't know what to do with it.
Mm.
But it's awesome. So
that's great. From my observation, it looks like you've really found a niche audience with the church. It seems like the church loves you and you love the church, and it seems like a great fit. Did you start out doing comedy, like, in churches, or were you in clubs, or how did you find that niche?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, really.
Okay.
I mean, I started, they have open mic nights at comedy clubs. They'll have open mic nights where they
right.
give you, like, three to five minutes, you know, on, like, a Wednesday night. And you just bring some friends and do it that way. But to be honest, I think I learned more in the church. I mean, for one thing, you get more stage time. I mean, you go to a youth group, they're like, take an hour. That's what you do. You try to survive for as long as you can. You know, and there's lots of opportunities within the church. I think the church is a great place to learn comedy because, it's not a crowd like, you know, you're not going to get beer bottles thrown at you like at a club if you're not good. But, you know, if it's not funny, they won't laugh,
mm-hmm.
even if you're Christian or not.
Right.
So that's great because it tells you what works and what doesn't. And they'll be nice. They'll be nice to you, but really, but they won't laugh.
Right.
After about 3 minutes, no. Okay, now you're going to have to bring it or you need to go off and bless your heart. Let's go get some more cheesecake and lasagna. I was thinking I had to be more engaging than the lasagna and the cheesecake. You know, what's going to make them turn their heads?
Stiff competition there with that good food.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I learned in mostly in the church, and I don't, you know, I wasn't the guy that said, oh yeah, this is where I'm, you know, this is where I can really, you know, cash in at the church. It's just, no, churches have, like you said, I love the church, and like a church, it's like a family. It's like there's a lot of things in the church that I don't like. A lot of man-made religious stuff that turns my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do things that turn my own stomach. But I believe, you know, God wants us to love the church, but I'm also going to, I think he wants me also to expose for the things that they're not supposed to be there.
Right.
And I think comedy is a great way to do it.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you kind of bring out truths, but you make it a little bit more palatable with comedy, you know, and irony.
Yeah,
and satire.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I'm not here to be hateful or try to push envelopes, but in the same thing, I do want to be authentic. I think in the church right now, one of the problems is, you know, nobody gets mad anymore.
Right.
And I think that the nature of the gospel, it makes people mad. And so much of church now is, oh, you're great, and you live a great life, and this is how Jesus can help you, you know, you. And it's like, no, the gospel is, look, you're messed up. You are messed up, and you have no hope at all without Christ.
Mm.
And people don't like that. And I think with comedy, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine who does comedy, and we were talking about that, the feedback that you get from Christians. You realize that some people, you're messing with their religion, man. They're just so keyed up, and like you mentioned, Halloween, and they just That's what I'm gonna have a tweet, and the tweet's gonna say this. It's gonna say, I was counting my Halloween candy while drinking a beer, reading a Charles Darwin book.
Oh no!
It's cute, again. You know. It's like, you know, of course, you know, and all that it's just to say is, you know, it just, people just freak out.
Yeah, that might get you banned from the church. You might not be invited back after that.
But I don't know.
No, but I think in general, from what I've seen, I think the church appreciates you because you're not only are you hysterically funny, but you're relevant to the Bible and things in the church, and you're family friendly, which a lot of comedians, let's face it, are not. You know, I grew up in the Northeast in New York. I went to several comedy clubs in the city, and the material was so blue and offensive that I just couldn't laugh at it. I just felt uncomfortable through the whole thing. I just felt dirty,
yeah.
You know? So when I see someone like you, who I know your tagline is clean comedy is easy, but funny comedy is difficult. I really appreciate that. And you're not just trying to be clean, but you are hysterical, which goes a long way.
being a Christian or a comedian, you don't deserve anything. You got to go earn it. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you deserve laughs.
Right.
It's like a joke I do. There's no such thing as Christian plumbing, you know. Christian comedy, what does that mean? It's like, there's no Christian plumbing. It's like, clean my pipes, dude. You know, do your job.
Right.
When I go to a church, I'm there to make people laugh. I'm there to be as funny as I can possibly be. And I know that it ministers. I know that the Holy Spirit uses it. I don't know, you know, I know that the Holy Spirit works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because of the stories that I hear and the testimonies of people that come to the shows, and that's nothing that I'm doing. I'm just trying to obey and be as good as I can.
Right.
God is awesome, and he just allows me to be a part, and that's all I want. I just want to be a part of what he's doing.
I so appreciate that about you. Once again, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with comedian Tim Hawkins. I'm Daniel Fazina, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. Now, Tim, I want to talk to you about something that's not funny at all. But it's something that I think is very relevant in today's society, and that is cancer. Your wife is battling breast cancer, from what I understand.
She's doing really well, though. Yeah, she was diagnosed in 07.
Okay.
With breast cancer, and then she's been cancer free for about 2 years, a little over 2 years.
Oh,
now.
Praise God! That's awesome.
And I know, it's great. She's doing wonderful. She's very healthy. You know, it's hard to get back to whatever normal was,
right?
You know, because what it does to your body.
Yeah, I know. I've been through cancer myself and chemo and all that. It's not fun.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your body, after, it just doesn't respond to eating right for a while. And to,
yeah.
It's, you know, because it's so working on the other thing.
Right. When you guys first learned of the condition and you got the diagnosis, how did you handle that? And what was going through your mind when you got that?
Well, after I, you know, got up out of the corner, curled up in the fetal position, you know, bawling, you know, just out of just fear. I think what we did, we got educated. And that's one thing about being diagnosed with something like that. You learn what it is and what's going on.
Right.
And what's great is that people just came out of the woodwork with encouragement and and with knowledge, and that helped us deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's it, the diagnosis. It's just, you just kind of have to wait.
Yeah.
And there's no certainty on what's going to happen or what it is. You just have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do what they tell you to do, and you pray, and you try to be as positive as you can.
Right.
And there's a lot of trust involved, and I'm thankful we live in a time now where medicine is where it is.
Mm-hmm.
My wife actually, she did some nutritional therapy also, which helped out a lot as far
That's
as
good.
Response to the chemo. She was recovering in 1 or 2 days from the chemo, as opposed to other people taking a week
right.
to recover from it. So that was a blessing. She didn't get the big mouth sores and all that.
Good.
And I think that was probably why.
And how did this experience affect your relationship with both your wife and with God?
Well, once again, it's the church. I mean, that's I really exposed what the church really is. It's people. And that's really what helped get us through is the church, is the living stones, is the people that you know, believers that kind of put their money where their mouth is. They came to our house and they stayed with us when I was out of town.
Right.
My relationship with my wife, I don't know. I mean, I don't care what happens to her. I still love her. I still, you know,
Well, what I meant was
health.
Did it draw you closer together in some ways, or, I mean, straining, or, I don't know.
Well, the thing about being married is cancer is just one of the many challenges that you go through that are intense.
Yeah, that's now, true. Yeah, yeah.
Just on the weight of our own personalities and our own faults, just without cancer, we have enough challenge. You know, you throw kids into the mix and
money,
and it was a very intense challenge, yes.
Okay.
But I think that one of the things is, you know, we've been through challenges before, and we have since.
Okay.
And I think we've always faced things in a win-win situation, like we're not trying to beat one another. We're each other. We're partners. And,
right.
And I actually drew more strength from her than she did from me, to be honest with you.
No, I can believe that.
I just tried to show up. You know, part of marriage is just showing up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I do it because I love her, and, you know, to this day, you know.
Right. I can relate to that. I think when I was going through cancer as well, I think it was harder on my family and my wife, who was my fiancée at the time. But I think it was harder on them than it was on me. So many emotions. It's just a whirlwind and a wild roller coaster ride. But you know, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But I'm actually I wouldn't change anything going back. I think it really helped me.
My wife's friend. She has a bumper sticker some kind of sign that says "I survived my friend's cancer," which makes sense, you know.
Yeah, wow.
Because and we saw so much pink. That was another struggle. I mean, I appreciate the pink ribbons, but I mean, she got pink, and she was like, "Oh, get this pink away from me!" If you did anything pink, she would just you know.
I hear you. Wow. Well, friends, once again, we are speaking with comedian Tim Hawkins. I am Daniel Fazina, and this is Divine Intervention Radio. Tim, we just got a couple minutes left, but before we go, I'd like you to share one really funny story that happened with you. Can you share about, I think it was a woman who came up to you and wanted you to sign her Bible, and you just wrote a random verse in there that you thought?
Yeah.
That was so hilarious. Share that story.
Be careful what you pray for, right? Sure, yeah. Any other Christian performer, you know, you try to be cool, and, you know, you want to, when somebody asks for your autograph, you want to do a nice little message and a nice, you know, to really seal the deal, and, hey, this is what it's really all about, you know, which it is, but I mean, a lady asked me for my autograph. She asked me to put my favorite Bible verse. What's my favorite Bible verse? Is Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him."
Okay.
And I blanked on the verse, and I just picked a psalm, you know. And I'm like, you know, you can't go wrong with the Psalms, when in reality you can go horribly wrong with the Psalms. And, you know, and I picked Psalm 38:7, and I wrote that down and wrote that on a bunch of other, you know, autographs that night. And I went home, looked up Psalm 38:7, and it actually says, low. I have a loathsome disease in my loins.
That was and, hilarious.
What are there, a billion verses in the book? And I picked the loins passage out of midair. So
I think that was not an accident. I mean, I think God used that for you, gave you some material for your routine.
And you know, it's really funny that. Now we actually have T-shirts with that. We sell T-shirts with that verse. I had my nephew, who's my art director, make a shirt, and it has like a lion on it, and it says, you know, a nice script, you know, Psalm 38:7. And so you can have that to bless your friends now. You really, I tell people when they tell me, you know, they'll say something about, you know, they had to explain what that means to their kids, and I'm like, you know what? Whatever gets them reading the Bible, it doesn't, you know, whatever it takes. It's like my pastor says, what's the best version of the Bible? It's the one that you'll read.
Yeah, no kidding. Great stuff.
So, you know, it's the funny stuff. The funny stuff is just, you know, real life.
Right. And you have to have a sense of humor going through life, and I think God has a sense of humor. I mean, he made us, right?
Yeah.
He made the giraffe, for crying out loud.
Yeah, God's hilarious, and I am. I just, you know, I think heaven is a place where, you know, that's the one you'll hear the most is laughter, other than the, you know, the worship and all that. It's you're going to hear a lot of laughter.
Yeah, amen to that. Looking forward to it.
You know?
Yeah. So, Tim, we are just about out of time, but real quick, if there's someone listening to this interview right now who doesn't believe in God, doesn't know Jesus, what would you want to say to them?
Well, if you don't believe in God, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I look at my own hand, and I look at, you know, like the human eye, and I think, you know, at one point there was nothing, and there now I have, you know, on the end of my arm there's this incredible wonder of engineering. I think of the human eye. I just, if you can look at that and not believe in God, I don't know what I'm going to say that's going to make you believe. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't.
Okay.
But I know that God exists, and I know that because things exist, and where did that come from? You know, it came from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I know that Jesus exists because, you know, history proves it out. But more importantly, and most importantly, is the Holy Spirit. I know that he lives inside of me. And I could just say, just from, you know, that's just a personal testimony. Mm-hmm. I know that there's something that happened when I accepted Christ. That I can't explain. There's a joy that's deeper. There's a love that's deeper than anything that the world has to offer. And I'm just saying that God loves you. If you're listening to this and you don't know Christ, he loves you very much. You don't have to get cleaned up or get your act straight. You know, he loves you. He knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. And he has a plan for you. He knows what you love to do, and he wants to bless you. So,
amen to that.
I hope, yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your insights. Once again, we are speaking with Tim Hawkins, one of the funniest men in the world. Check out his website, timhawkins.net. I'm Daniel Fazina.
I think I just hit 1 trillion hits.
1 trillion hits?
Yes, a trillion.
That is insane.
Oh. And I think half that whole family in Idaho.
Very cool. Well, Tim, thank you so much for sharing on Divine Intervention. I appreciate your work.
All right.
God bless you, sir.
Great to talk to you.
All right. Well, friends, that about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention. I'm Daniel Fazina. If you have any questions or comments, email me at divineintervention@mail.com, and all of our shows are archived. Check us out online, divineinterventionradio.com. Now I'm going to leave you with a little taste, a sample of Tim Hawkins' comedy. This is off his Rock Show Comedy Tour. Check him out. God willing, we will see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention.
You ever have a teacher say this? Well, there's no such thing as a stupid question.
Well, I beg to differ. Obviously, you ain't got kids, woman. You ever in a car with a long period of time with a kid, you will hear a stupid question from Tim.
But Daddy, are you there yet? There you go. Daddy, there, there. Car's still moving, you moron.
Here's the rule of thumb. When the tree stopped doing that, the eagle has landed, Magellan. You want to leave Daddy alone for a couple hundred miles? Yeah, Daddy likes to get to a place and keep on driving, son. That's what I like to do. My dad used to ask dumb questions on road trips, man. I'm like, Daddy, I got to go to the bathroom. Number one or number two? What difference does it make? Pull over, you weirdo. I don't know, 1.5. I don't know what's going to happen down there. Feeling some tension, Jeff Gordon. Better pull it over. These fake leather seats going to be a different color in about 30 seconds there, Captain Question. You know what I said one time? Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. Lay on your side. Okay, I know. That ain't going to work, man. Yeah, now half of me really has to go. Thanks for the bladder infection, Father of the Year. Teachers used to ask dumb questions when I was a kid. You know, you bring a piece of candy.
Did you bring enough for everybody?
Well, I'm a kid, not a caterer, so no. Didn't see the bozos help me mow the lawn to pay for it, so no. I used to be a praise and worship leader for many different religious groups before I became a Christian. Thank you for laughing. You're so tolerant. I used to lead praise and worship at a Jehovah's Witness church one time. Sing songs like, someone's knocking at your door, somebody's ringing your bell. And let me in. Then I was at a Mormon church for a while. We used to sing songs like, I want to ride my bicycle, I want to ride my bike, I want to ride my bicycle, I want to ride it where I like. Best, I love this one over food. Sometimes we pray over food and ask God to make up for our bad choices when we eat. That's funny. What is, Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. Lord, bless this bag of Cheetos. And this jumbo Dr. Pepper, Lord. Somehow make this nourish us in some way. I don't know how you're going to do it, Father, but we just trust in you now. Father, change the molecular structure of this food. Change the Cheeto into a carrot stick on the way down. Spirit of low carb, rain down on me now. I pray a hedge of protection around my pancreas, Lord. Right now. Intervene. Come on, man. There's some beautiful stuff in the Bible. There's some stuff in there you got to admit. It's not what we can call family friendly. Think about it. There's a reason you don't see some of those illustrations in the Precious Moments Bible. You don't see Cain and Abel in the Precious Moments. Isn't that precious? It's like I'll never understand parents who will paint Noah's Ark on their kids, little kids' bedroom walls. It doesn't make sense. Noah's Ark's a great story, but it's just out there, man. It's like, Daddy, what are you doing? I'm painting Noah's Ark on your wall, sweetheart. My favorite story. You know where God sends a worldwide flood to kill every living thing? Yeah. I love it. It's awesome. Hey, grab a brush and paint some screaming people on that rock for me just to make it real. It's going to be great. Look in the baby's room. I painted the stoning of Stephen. You're going to love that. Those birds? No, those are locusts coming to kill you. That's what they're doing.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope it has inspired you. More information about the show, free downloads, and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com.